Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. What a beautiful day in the valley to go outside and plant something.
Happy, what do I want to say?
St. Patty's Day.
Well, that's today? Well,
I think so. People are wearing green around here.
Well, that's why I didn't do this on purpose, but I got green on my shirt.
Well, gray is a form of green.
Oh, okay. A form of green. Uh-huh. Happy Global Warming Day to you.
There you go. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, if you're still listening after that opening salvo. But if you have questions about your lawn, garden, trees, shrubs, anything that's happening, 673-4464. Be free to call, and we can discuss it right here on the air, and I will help you. Trust me, I will help you. And this show basically is about ideas and things you can do with your yard or plants of any sort. And today I'm going to be speaking on houseplants and my favorite houseplants because they're easy and they do well, and you can actually neglect them and they won't die. You know, that's pretty cool. You have to go through a lot of houseplants to find out which ones you will survive.
There's a joke there, but I got to leave it alone.
Yeah, you better. survive under the conditions that I put them under, but that's okay. But, you know, when I first began putting my notes together, and it was raining and cold, and I think it was like 34 degrees or something. So my opening line was, since global warming is hitting us so hard, it's too cold to enjoy yard work. So maybe in another month or so, we can enjoy some warmth. But I was fooled because today is beautiful. It's 64 degrees out there. Jeez Louise. I almost had a sweat thing come out on my forehead. You
know, however, it's going to change. Did you hear that?
I keep hearing that all the time. Yeah, and
okay. March is going out like a lion. I guess
who?
March.
You know? Oh, March.
What do you think I said?
I don't know. I wasn't listening very well.
Well, you never listen to me.
That's true. You lead me down the wrong path if I did.
No, I don't.
Oh, gosh. In the meantime, if you have any indoor plants, this would be a good time to spruce them up, you know. By this, I mean, like, repot them if they need repotting, if they've been in the pot for 16 years or 6 years or whatever, and their growth has been a little slow and it's looking a little peaked. It might need some more room, so don't hesitate to get a bigger pot with some nice potting soil and slip it out of the one and put it in the other, and you won't have to do it for another 5 or 10 years. You know, that's how good they are. They
nice. They
last no matter how bad you treat them. But larger containers really help root-bound indoor plants. And then you can prune them. If you got some old branches on there or some leaves that are looking pretty shabby, yeah, cut them off. It's not going to hurt them. And maybe a shot of liquid fertilizer. You know, get some of this powdered stuff. You put it in water, stir it up, and pour it in. And do that a couple of times here in the next 10 days and watch them want to jump out of the pot. I mean, they'll be going, whoa, man, we cannot take this no more.
This feels good.
Yeah. Give us some more of that stuff. But, you know, indoor plants need care. I mean, they look good. You bring them home, you buy them, and you maybe get them as a gift, and they look good. And sometimes we give them too much care by thinking they're some fragile little thing, and you water them to death. Or on the flip side of that, you think, well, that's pretty tough. I haven't done anything to it for 3 weeks and it's still looking good, but it might be on the verge of death. So, you know, don't swamp it and don't make it a desert. Get a happy medium in there, and they will really grow for you. They'll look good. They'll jazz up your house. They'll, you know, have some in the kitchen, some in the living room, whatever. And they add an ambiance to the atmosphere. Plus, they produce oxygen. How's that?
So there you go.
Your own oxygen source right there next to your chair in the living room.
And it's all free.
Yeah, almost. I mean, you know, the purchase and all that. And the water you have.
Oh,
done
the
that.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
But anyway, if you lived in the same container for a lot of years, you'd be looking a little dull and not growing much either. So they're the same way. They need to get out and stretch their roots. Now, if you don't have any indoor plants, maybe get a few to liven up your living room or your kitchen or your bedroom, whatever. And if you haven't ever had any, I'll give you some suggestions on some easy, hardy plants that can grow and survive in any home, no matter how bad you treat them.
Cool.
They don't really require a lot of care, just a little bit of sunlight, a little bit of water once in a while, and a bit of fertilizer. And you don't have to mark it on the calendar or anything like that. Just think about, oh, every couple of months, maybe a little bit of fertilizer, and maybe you know, once 7 to 10 days, you might give them a little bit of water, but don't do it. They're like outdoor plants. If the soil's moist, leave it alone. But if you reach down in there in that pot and it's kind of dry for about an inch or two, yeah, give it a shot. it's that simple. The toughest ones can survive almost any kind of abuse that you might give them. Hmm. But you know, you don't want to abuse them. You want to get them healthy. You want to get them growing well and growing. And but they really don't require, like I say, a lot of care. Just a little bit of sunlight, a little bit of water, and a little bit of fertilizer. So here's a partial list of the tough ones that I've made. Now, there's literally hundreds of thousands of these things, but my list is very short. I won't go through all 100,000 of them. But once you get comfortable with these guys, then you can get to some more complex or complicated plants that take a bit more care. Once you get into the groove there, and you can see what you're doing, and if you're having success with what I mentioned, and you say, well, you know, I'd like to try this now, and so don't be afraid to try it. You might have to adjust your watering a bit or something like that, or put them in a shadier spot or even a sunnier spot by a big window or something like that, and just get the feel of it. My botany professor always used to tell us, hey, they don't grow because of us, they grow in spite of us. And his name was Lee Hunt, and he knew a lot. I learned a lot from that man. But anyway, I like jade plants as a starter plant.
Yeah.
They are simple. They're exotic looking, and they just don't need a lot of care. And like I say, they are easy to grow.
Mm. They just kind of sit there.
Yeah, they sit there. And then you go, I wonder if that thing needs water. There's dust coming off the soil there. I wonder what that means, you know?
There's spider webs.
Yeah, there's spider webs. There's about 14 spiders living in my jade plant. How come? But they are evergreen with the thick green leaves. I don't know how else to describe them, but the leaves are very thick. They're not thin like a lot of most plant leaves. And it's a medium-sized grower, say, in the house in a pot to about, the book said 30 inches tall. However, I grew some that were 3.5 to 4 feet tall and wide. And it took about 10 years to get that size, but I kept repotting them. And finally, I got them in a pot that I think was probably 18 inches in diameter and about, at least 18 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that's a lifetime pot. They'll never have to be repotted again, you know?
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. No, I didn't repot them again because, because there, when they were so big, I was by myself at the nursery one, I don't know, Friday afternoon or something like that. And this little Volkswagen Bug pulled into the parking lot. It was a slow summer day.
Yeah.
Probably end of August, probably, right in there. And you know, nursery business end of August and hot. Not that many people are stopping and wanting to plant. I don't know why. But and this young guy gets out, 20-something guy, and he's real friendly, bopping around. And we got to talking, and he says, I said, well, where are you headed? Because he had California plates on his Bug.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where are you headed? He said, I'm going to Eugene. I'm going to the UVO. I'm a student there, and I'm going to live, and I got a dorm room and blah, blah, blah. And he says, but I want some plants.
I want to be a hippie.
I want. I said, I don't have any cannabis. I'm sorry. This is about 20 years ago. But he said, I want some indoor plants in my room. You know? I said, okay. Yeah. All right, I was showing him this and that, and he stumbled across my huge jade plant, big. I mean, he was just wow, man, look at that. You know, you couldn't say enough things about it because the trunk was about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. I mean, it was big.
It's like a tree.
Oh, yeah, it was. And a good 3.5 feet tall, 3 feet wide. I'd pruned it over the years, so it's kind of the branches were kind of gnarled. But it was a beauty. I mean, it was a total beauty.
So, yeah.
And I thought I had too high of a price on it. And I think it was $95 or something. It was worth a lot more, but I thought $95 was, nobody would buy it, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sell it. He said, I'll take that one. I said, you'll take that one? How come? He says, oh, man, it's just too beautiful. I got to have it. And I looked out and I said, how are you going to haul it in that Volkswagen? He said, oh, well, I'll put the front seat down. We'll just stick it in the back seat and all that. And I said, oh, geez Louise. Took two of us to lift it up, carry it out to his car. We maneuvered it into the back seat once he put the front seat as far forward, and then he laid the seat down. And the plant was kind of sideways. I said, you're going to need some help getting this puppy out when you get to Eugene, man. You know, he was excited and wanted to know how to take care of it. And I told him, I gave him all the instructions and blah, blah, blah. And he's, man, that is so cool. And paid me in cash even and drove away. And I thought, I hope that thing lives.
No, hear back?
No, I was hoping he'd stop in someday and say, hey, remember that jade plant? Well, it's 28 feet tall now, and I'm a professor at the U of O, and I still got it in my room.
I was going to think you were going to say you was Ted Bundy. But
yeah, I don't know. Oh, gosh.
On that, we probably should take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
All right.
I'm on a roll. Hurry up.
More Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here in a couple. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
On a spring day, it is 420.
420?
420.
Oh, I thought it was 64. Oh, you're talking time. I was talking temperature.
Well, okay.
420, that's pretty hot, man.
Well, it's a perfect time for something.
I know. Anyway, I've been talking about... What? Indoor plants.
No, it shocked me, the board.
Oh, the shocked you, the board?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
You're on.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure you don't fall over or something, you know, because I can't do this
electrifying
stuff. Electrifying, yeah. Anyway, the jade plants, like I say, they're like my favorite, easiest plant to mess with. And they make a great indoor bonsai. You can prune them into very exotic shapes because, like I say, the branches are not straight. They're kind of gnarled and naturally gnarled, and they don't grow straight. They kind of go out, and then there's a new leaf, and it kind of turns to the left and makes a new branch, and then another little bit of growth, and it kind of maybe goes up a little bit and to the right. And so when you prune off all the excess leaves and leave just a few on the ends, and you've got a nice trunk, and you've pruned the top so it spreads, they make a very nice bonsai. And they like light, so you know, put them near a window where the sunshine will be there for at least 2 or 3 hours, and that's all they need. Could actually grow in with no sunlight, probably. But when they do have a little bit of sunlight, they do
a lot better.
A whole lot better. And they take little water to keep them, you know, so you keep them slightly damp in the summer. You know, just like I say, feel the soil and fertilize with an indoor liquid fertilizer, you know, say once a month from about March to October. And they're good to go. They're cooking at that point in time. Again, cool. Overwater or too much fertilizer ain't good. Quit it. They're slow growing. They're not going to speed up. They're not going to jump up there. And if there's enough light, they will bloom in summer with small white flowers, really tiny small white flowers. And if you want to grow more plants and you want to have baby jades, you just take a leaf off, just pop it off, and stick it in some potting soil and water the potting soil, and it'll grow roots in a few months or a few weeks.
Is that right?
Depend. Wow. They're nice. Very easy to start. Very easy.
Kind of like roses.
Yeah.
Rose
bushes. You know, and one time I was at Disneyland years and years ago, And I was visiting, I went to Disneyland, but then I wanted to visit a friend who lived near there. And I was just taking a walk around the block, just taking, you know, see what the neighborhood is like, since Southern California stuff, you know. And I'm walking down this sidewalk trying to identify different trees and shrubs and see, you know, what do they grow versus what do we grow. And I'm walking along this hedge, and I'm looking at this hedge, and I'm thinking, my mind was just boggled, because it was a hedge of jade plants growing out of the ground. This is in, you know, Orange, California, Orange County. And they were probably close to 4 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. And somebody planted them as a hedge along the sidewalk.
I'll be darned.
I was amazed. Until that point, I never even realized that they'd be an outdoor plant. But in Southern Cal, you know, it never, never snows, maybe.
And nothing surprises anyone.
I know. Oh, gosh. But now, we'll get off the jades for a while here.
Okay.
All right. So if you want a little more color, okay, I like bougainvillea. Bougainvillea, that plant grows wild in sunny tropical and desert regions. I mean, that thing grows like a weed. But it also grows in Douglas County as a house plant or a patio plant in the summer. But in the winter, it's definitely a house plant, because anything down in the 30-degree range, 39, 38, it starts to look a little peaked. It likes it. It likes it warm and toasty, and I don't blame it. And like I say, in the summer when it's nice and, you know, nighttime temperatures are in the 50s or something like that, it can stay out on the patio until weather changes in September or October.
And have a good old time.
Oh, yeah, and it'll do really, really well. It loves the sun. It loves the heat. And has super flowers most of the year. Mm. I mean, it flowers and flowers and flowers, and it's crazy. I've seen it growing wild in Guatemala. I've been down to Guatemala three or four times over the years. And I was at this old church that was built in the 1700s.
Wow.
And taking a tour and looking at things. And they had this courtyard in the center of the church, an actual outdoor courtyard. Mm. And I'm looking out there, and I see this plant growing. Oh, gosh, it was probably 15 feet tall, 15 feet wide, and it was growing up the side of this smaller building, almost totally covering this building. Mm. And it had a billion bright purple flowers on it. Mm. And there was actually two of them. And I thought, what in the world is that? That is an amazing plant. So the guide that was with us, I said, what is that plant? He said, that is bougainvillea. I said, you're kidding me. No, it's bougainvillea. It just blew my mind. Down there, they grow like blackberries grow up here, and they grow wild everywhere. I mean,
nobody pays any attention.
But when I was in Mexico one time, I went to Cabo years and years ago, and we get off at the airport, and I got a four-lane freeway going to Cabo. It's about a 20-mile ride. And we're driving. I'm not driving. I'm sitting in this taxi thing, van, whatever. And we're going along, and on the banks along the side of the freeway, the highway there, I saw some guys cutting weeds with weed eaters and machetes and stuff, and they're cutting all this brush down, and it's full of blooms. And I recognize that this is bougainvillea.
Oh, geez.
Because it grows so much down there, they got to whack it back because it's an invasive species.
A nuisance, so to speak.
Like, you know, we go along, we see our crews along our freeways. They're cutting down brush and poison oak and blackberries and that stuff. Well, they're down there cutting bougainvilleas down that are in full bloom.
Wow.
And I thought, man, that's got to be a tough plant. It's got to be a tough plant.
Yeah.
So. But they come in a variety of colors. They come in white, red, yellow, orange, and purple. And I'm sure there's some in-between colors there, too. But that's what the list I got. Yeah. And again, in indoors, they're evergreen. And you can put them outdoors from, say, May to September, right in there. And they'll thrive. They'll do well. Mine are outdoors. When we're past any freezing, if 39, they'll still take it. But, you know, we get in there where the lows are 40 and the highs are 85 or whatever.
Safe zone.
Yeah, I put them out with some of my bonsai and stuff like that. And they just do very, very well all summer long until, you know, temperature starts dipping again, and then you bring them back in. And they just do good. And if they're in a pot, prune them to the size you like. If you don't want them long and stringy because they have a tendency to grow that way, go ahead and prune them back. And I've pruned them into little trees. I've got some that I've actually pruned into bonsai shapes, and they got a little, you know, maybe a foot tall tree and a foot wide. It really looks cool, especially when it's in bloom. But I'm the only guy I've ever seen doing that. I see bougainvillea and stuff like that in some of these box stores, and they're just a nice little shrub, and they look cute and all that. But mine have quality.
There you go.
Mine are bonsai.
It's got that loving touch.
Right. And so you can prune them into a small tree over time, and they just keep blooming. Nothing seems to hurt them. They react well. The trunks get thicker, and after a few years, they really look like a tree. So you can try it. See what you can do it to any plant, but I've done it to the jades. I've done it to the bougainvillea.
How about the deer? Do they like them?
Well, no, because we won't let them in the nursery. So,
got it.
Then we charge admission if they try to get in the nursery.
Can we have a tour?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to sample all your bougainvillea, please. Yeah. No way, boy. No way. So, now, if you would like, say, a medium-sized tree with large, glossy green leaves, you could try a rubber tree. And the leaves...
Is that kind of like a jade tree?
Well, yeah, in one respect, but it's not. It's a totally different kind of deal, and I'll explain that. But their leaves can be like a foot long and 4 to 6 inches wide.
Jeez.
And they're thick leaves, and then you could probably pick one off and turn it over and use it as a plate, maybe. You know, I mean, and they're sturdy.
Wow. Okay.
And you don't see too many of them around. You can find them in some office buildings and stuff like that.
They're normally fake, I think.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of fake ones out there, you know, fake trees, fake news, you know, all that stuff. It's part of the American culture.
I knew I'd get China in there.
Yeah, you get China in there, right? Jeez Louise. But they are a tree, but they're a small tree in that they, you know, I've seen one that was 10 feet tall once, and that's what I'm going to tell you about. It was a indoor tree, and this business called me up. And I said, hey, do you prune indoor plants? I said, oh, yeah, sure I do. I've never done it, but but I can do it. Well, we got some very large indoor plants in our showroom, and it was a car dealership down the road here, Napier Toyota.
Oh, I remember that.
Way back in the olden days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where I bought my first brand new car.
Nice. Yeah. Bobby, for $999.
No, $2,800.
Wow.
Brand new.
Brand new.
You turn a steering wheel to the left, the car would actually turn to the left. I wasn't used to that. Oh, it was a great car. But anyway, they called me up and says, hey, we want you to prune these things. So I go down there, and they had these great big windows. That's where the rental place is now, and they got the great big windows,
the windows on 10
feet tall.
Right.
So you get lots of light, maximum light. So these trees, they had a philodendron that was growing up into the ceiling. They had a rubber tree that was, gosh, at least 8 feet tall, if I recall.
Jeez.
And they wanted it smaller and shorter and take some of the branches out and all that kind of stuff. And I said, sure, no problem. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how do I do this without killing them? Because I didn't tell them I had never done it before. But I know how to prune. I can prune apple trees, but I'd never done a rubber tree before or a philodendron. But it was pretty good size, and I didn't know that when you cut a branch on a rubber tree, the sap is like a milky white sap, and it just bubbles out wherever you cut it. It just kind of bubbles out of the stem, and I'm thinking, oh my, it's going to bleed to death. You know, it's going to lose all of its sap. And one of the guys says, you ought to cauterize that. Cauterize? Yeah, you know, burn it. That way it'll stop it from flowing. So he handed me his cigarette lighter, and as I would cut, I'd pop the lighter and cauterize it, and it would form an instant scab on the end of the cut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was cool, and it lived. It lived.
Nice.
And I did it. I did it to all the little branches, uh-huh. And you know, it was a trick that I learned, right there. And I've done it when I haven't pruned too many rubber trees since, but any type of indoor plant that when you cut a branch, you're pruning it and there's a little sap or something that actively pours out, mm-hmm. you cauterize it. With a match or a lighter or something like that, and just scabs over and you save the plant.
Plugs it right up.
Yeah,
so
plugs it right up. That's right. And, you know, these guys actually grow wild in the tropics, and they're native to Asia. That's where they come from. And in your home today, they're not going to grow quite so large in a small container. So they're a good house plant, and they're kind of unique. They're kind of different. You know, somebody that comes to visit you will say, "Wow, that's really a cool tree. What is it?" And then you can talk about the history of the rubber tree. Keep the soil moist. I mean, that's important. Not over wet again, and you know, add a little fertilizer in the spring and the summer, maybe twice a year, and they do well and they'll look good. And like I said earlier, the leaves can be 10, 12 inches long and 4 to 6 inches wide. I mean, they're just and these leaves, since they're so large, they'll gather dust. You know, we have dust in our homes we don't even see, but
right.
If you look at a shiny green leaf, and it's shiny and it's green, it's brand new, and you put it in, and a month later, the shine is kind of gone a little bit. So you can still see the green, but the shine, after 2 months, you go, "Wow, it's got dust all over it."
It's diluted.
what are you doing? It's polluted. Yeah. No, you just take a damp cloth and hold the leaf on the, you know, with one hand underneath so it doesn't break. And you just take a damp cloth and just wipe that off.
Oh, that won't hurt
it. No, what doesn't hurt it, and it's good as gold.
Nice.
I mean, it works really tight.
On that note, we got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. There we go. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show returns in a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're back. We're talking cars, plants, and a whole bunch of other stuff in between.
Yeah, but you can't hear us because we're on break when we're doing this.
Probably just as well.
Yes, it is, because Dale gets really carried away here. But if you have a question on anything, even though I'm talking about indoor plants, you want to talk about your apple tree in your yard, that's fine. You can call 673-4464. We'll get you right through, ask your question, give you some information, and you know, you won't interrupt me because I got lots of notes. I that's why I write notes, so I don't get lost.
There you go. The phone hasn't rang today. Come on.
I know. Maybe they're out enjoying the sun, working in their yard probably. But anyway, I've been talking about rubber trees and bougainvillea and all those kind of things. And a rubber tree, it makes a real classy display if you have the room to do it. Mm. You got to give it some room to grow. And, you know, put them by a window that gets light for, say, half a day. it's just a really easy plant to keep going. It requires very little care. And it seems like the indoor plants are most of them, to me, that I've done research with and actually have grown. They seem to be hardier than some of the outdoor plants as far as, you know, needing water or needing fertilization or something like that. They're just tough buggers, boy. I mean, they just do good things. Now, okay, you didn't like those two or three that I was talking about. So, Norfolk Isle Pine. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Norfolk Isle Pine. Yes. It makes a beautiful indoor Christmas tree because it's a conifer, basically. But it's a a tropical conifer, and it's like native habitat to Hawaii and places like Hawaii, and it can grow.
Not China.
No, I don't know. Maybe in China too, but it can grow 40 feet, maybe 50 feet, and tall. But in your home, it's a lot slower growing and might get 6 feet tall because you got it in a pot. You don't want to put it in a yard, but do we have a call?
We do.
Okay, let's take the call.
All righty, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Mike, you are such a historical, wonderful man in my life. Thank you.
Oh, you're sure welcome, John. Do you have a question?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right there.
I do. I'm just a little emotional because you've been talking about moving and selling and I just absolutely love your family, love your nursery, and I'm just so thankful.
Well, actually, John, I'm not moving anywhere. I want to sell my nursery and go work at my ranch for the rest of my life.
I don't want to move anywhere.
No, I like my home. I ain't moving out of Douglas County.
I like where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, did you have a question there, Guy?
I do.
Okay.
I have a one of my favorite bonsais is four different colors of bougainvillea.
Uh-huh.
And if you could share with people how to do that, because you have to go slow and go slow and be patient. One of the things that I learned how to do a long time ago was using a large dish with gravel in it, and so you could put water onto it, and then you could put your bonsai onto that to be able to give the moisture to the bonsai, the plant, and your environment. That's what I learned how to do a long time ago.
Yeah, method. Yes.
Yes. Could you share other methods, please?
Well, the only other way is to top watering and just testing your soil first before you do any watering. And
sure.
And yep. I preach about all the time is not to get them overwatered. Don't want to have a
swamp. Never overwater.
No,
yep.
It's yep. better. You can always add more later if it needs it. But it's something that, depending on like an indoor plant, you have to gauge what your home temperature is or your home atmosphere or the air circulation as to how the plant is going to react. And after a while, after say 3 to 6 months or whatever, you see what the plant is doing, then you're kind of in the groove and you're kind of in tune with the needs. And some people might have them by a sunny window, a lot of sunshine. Somebody might have them by a very small window where they only get an hour of sunlight or something like that.
Sure.
And so they'll react differently in the care. And it's just something that one has to learn. You know, there are some basics, but then there's a lot of finesse on those basics depending on the atmosphere in which it's placed.
Yes. Yeah. Mike, have you ever thought about, and if you've done this, please forgive me. Have you already published notes like that for people to be able to read about Mike Winters and Wintergreen Nursery doing such things?
Well, every show, I have 6 pages of notes that I handwrite. And I've got two huge cardboard boxes. I save all my notes.
Wow.
There must be 600 pages of notes in there, and if I could find somebody who would want to go through them and write a book, I'd hire them. But I ain't gonna do it. Oh, golly.
All right.
Thank you for putting up with me.
Okay, John. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Blessings on your family.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All righty. There we go. That opens up the lines. We did have a call coming in there.
Okay. Well, 673-4464 if you have a question. We'll be glad to answer it. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. And I was starting to talk about Norfolk Isle pine.
Oh, we got a call. You want to take it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
Nobody wants to hear about the pine.
Good afternoon. Oh. You're on the air with Mike.
I did not do this on purpose. The phone called back to me, and I don't know why.
Well,
forgive me.
Okay, we'll talk right. to you later.
Bye bye. Bye.
I'm so sorry, you guys. I love you, and I love all that you do, Mike.
Okay,
you're a precious
man. Thank you, John.
Well, that phone kind of acts up sometimes, though.
Yeah. What'd you do? You got all those buttons in
front
of you.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I just planted some blueberry plants. They're about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
How often do I need to water them right now?
Right now? When you planted them, did you water them at that time?
No. I put them in 2 days ago.
Okay. Give them half a gallon of water each, and then you're good for a month.
Half a gallon each, and that's good for a month?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to have some more rain here in a couple of days, supposedly. And, you know, April is a good month, and we'll have some rain in there. But like I tell everybody, actually feel the soil. If it's dry, water it. If it's wet, leave it alone. If it's damp, leave it alone. Because if it's damp on the surface, it's wet on the bottom.
No. Okay, well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. April showers bring May flowers.
Well, that's what they say, but I haven't seen that work yet. You know, usually there's a storm or something, but that's about it. And they beat the flowers to pieces. Okay.
Bring them inside.
I'm going to try this again, Norfolk Isle pine. It's you can use it as an indoor Christmas tree. They grow wild, like I say, in Hawaii and tropical places all over the world. They can get 40-plus feet. I've seen some that are 60 feet tall in Hawaii. Actually, they were planted in a row along a road at the Dole Pineapple Farm on the island of Oahu.
Oh.
Yeah.
They get a lot of care there, I guess.
Well, didn't look like it. They were kind of like a screen and decorating the driveway.
Yeah.
And the driveway up to their main store was probably a quarter mile long. Mm. And on the right-hand side of my car were all these pineapple fields. And on the left-hand side of the car was this row of Norfolk Isle pine. And at that time, I was in the Marine Corps at the time, I didn't know what the heck they were. I thought, man, those are the strangest looking evergreens I ever saw.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew what Doug fir was and cedars
right.
and pines and stuff like that. But I've never seen anything like that because the needles are real, real short. And I thought, and they're growing in Hawaii?
Yeah.
So finally, when I got up there, I said, what in the heck are those trees? Well, those are Norfolk pines. Right. Oh, okay. And
interesting.
Yeah, and they were huge. I mean, the diameters were probably, good 18 inches, maybe 2 feet in diameter. I mean, big tree. I mean, you could log them, for crying out loud. I don't know what kind of wood they have, but you could
firewood.
Log them.
Firewood.
Well, I don't know about firewood.
When in doubt.
Yeah, when in doubt, right. But we can grow them here in Douglas County, provided we keep them in the house all winter and put them outside in the spring and the summer. They'll do really, really good. And if you get them in a great big pot, they'll get a good 6 feet tall. I've seen them that tall.
That's
in pots.
That's a good size.
Yeah, and it's a very decorative tree. And of course, the height and the overall size depends on the size of the container that you pot it in. But it takes a lot of light, and warmth. So you put it by a big window on the west side or the east side of the house and make sure that it's getting a lot of sun all day long. And the needles are very small and very numerous. And if you've never seen one before, you go, wow, that is the strangest looking pine tree I ever saw. But they're not really a pine tree. They're just called a Norfolk Isle pine. And good draining, of course, good draining potting soil is needed for your best results. And it's a tough plant, really is a tough plant, and it's easy to grow. It doesn't take a plant scientist to make it grow.
Huh.
And if you water it sparingly and fertilize it maybe four times a year with liquid fertilizer, it's going to look good. Now, in between waterings, you can take one of these squirt bottles and mist it. You know, just kind of mist
sure.
the whole plant. And especially if you keep your house, 75 degrees.
Yeah.
I keep mine at 86, but especially all winter. But it's the wood heat that does it. But it's a great tree. It's a pretty tree, and but one thing, it doesn't like to be disturbed. You don't want to mess with it. You don't want
kind of like
so
me.
So you pick a good spot and you keep it there. Leave it alone. Put it there and leave it there. But while it's sitting there, you can turn the pot. You can rotate the pot to kind of even out the growth because on the side that's toward the window that's getting all the light, it's maximizing its growth on that side. So if you never twisted the pot around 180 degrees, you'd have a tree that had long branches on one side and shorter branches on the other. So, but turning the pot like that, that's not really a disturbance. You're just kind of,
helping
it out a little bit. Yeah. And it's just a nice tree for indoor growth. And again, it's a conversation piece, livens up the place, and you can use it as a living Christmas tree at Christmas.
There you go.
You go put some few lights on it and a few bulbs, and
you're ready to go.
There's my living Christmas tree.
And it's not fake.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to take a break?
Okay, if you insist.
All right. More pine talk, right?
No, I'm done with pines.
Oh, you're done with them?
Yeah, we're going to something else, man.
Okay. Find out what that something else is on the other side of the break. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are in the home stretch. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show for beautiful Wednesday in the Valley.
Absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, I've been talking about indoor plants and how to raise them and keep them nice and how they decorate your home. And then I'm going to, the next one I'm going to talk about is called the Gold Spot Plant. And it's so named because the leaves have numerous gold spots all through the green leaves. And the leaves are fairly large, 4 or 5 inches long, about an inch wide, maybe a little bit more. And it's a deep green, and then all through it is all these gold spots, like somebody took gold paint and flicked a paintbrush at the plant. Yeah, and they're not uniform in size. They're
really
some are a little bit bigger than others. Some are just tiny little dots. But it's very very pretty very pretty plant.
How big do they get?
Well, 458 feet tall. No, they're a small plant, but. They're a very small plant, and it's amazing. It's native to Western Africa, so it grows wild in Western Africa, and it has no discernible flowers, just pretty foliage, and it'll grow up to about 30 inches tall, maybe 20 inches wide. That's its maximum kind of growth, and in a container, depending on the size of the container, would. Either if it's a large container, it probably maximizes growth, and a smaller container, it's gonna stay small. That's the beauty of all that, and it likes bright light. So you want to put it by a window, keep it moist, not wet. That's the key to success there. And if you need a plant it's just a good plant. And if you need a plant that heals, scrapes, and burns, get an aloe vera plant. You've heard of aloe vera.
I've heard of that.
Okay. It works. It has long, thick leaves, and it's filled with healing power. That's all I can say. If you get a burn or a small cut, all you got to do is break off a small piece of the aloe vera and rub the sap on the wound, and it can ease the pain and start the healing process quickly. And I've seen it done. I've used it. We have one at home that I know of that we do, and keep one in the kitchen area in case you burn yourself while you're cooking. Grease fire. Something splashes and the pain is instant. If you've got an aloe vera, you just pop off a little tiny piece. Doesn't have to be a big chunk, and it's kind of like a thick juicy looking sap, and it doesn't run. It would run, but it would be real slow. So you can kind of rub it in, and it doesn't instantly take away the pain, but it soothes it over the long haul. And also, we've used it this way. It also works well on sunburns. So the first nice warm day, you take your shirt off, or you're sitting out there in your shorts and trying to get some rays and all that because you haven't seen it in months, and you stay out there about an hour too long on your white legs, and all of a sudden you go inside and you go, wow, what's my legs feel like they're on
they're
fire,
barbecued.
Yeah, they're barbecued. Well, you can spray this spread this aloe vera on them, and it will relieve that, and have a tendency to begin the healing process. And why, I have no idea. Some doctor or plant pathologist or something like that would have to get on and explain that.
Yeah,
but basically the leaves are long, they're thick, and they're green with little tiny white spots on it, like a drop of water spot or even smaller. And this plant is native to the Canary Islands, but will do well in any house. I know we've had them for years and years and years. And then its first cousin is from South Africa. And these leaves, I mean, it does the same thing, but these leaves are narrow and spiky. And this one has flowers on the ends of the plants. And these flowers are like small orange flowers. And again, it's different. It comes from Africa. I don't know why it's different, but it does the same thing. Is that the key to get off?
Yeah. We got to go.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. I enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.